Hi, this is Tracy Swedlow, Editor-in-Chief of Interactive TV Today and Radio ITVT. I'm also the co-producer of the TV of Tomorrow show, which is coming up June 13th and 14th, and that's at tvotshow.com. ITVT and Radio TVT are at itvt.com/podcast. So I'm really excited to welcome two gentlemen who are extremely knowledgeable and experienced men of television. And they are doing very good things, and now together in a project that was recently announced, or I would say more of an initiative. And the two gentlemen I'm referring to are Mark Hand, who is the CEO and co-founder of a company called Public Media Company, which is publicmedia.co, and Tim Hanlon, who is founder and CEO of the Viterra Group. Welcome, gentlemen, to Radio ITVT.
Great. Thank you.
Great to be here.
Of course, we've had Tim here many times, and I am very excited to have both gentlemen speaking at the TVOT show coming up. And Mark, you'll be there, I believe, for the first time.
Yeah, so, first time both on your podcast and also at the show. So happy to look forward to it, and we'll be happy to be there.
Well, there you guys are doing something very interesting, which is supporting public media. And of course, Mark, you do this all day, every day. And I want to hear, in short, if you could, a little bit about the company called Public Media, because that's the and Public Media Ventures, which is how, Tim, you've become part of this whole experience. So if, Mark, could you just give me the elevator pitch, in short, you know, of your mandate, please?
Sure. Originally, so we're now in our 17th year, and Public Media Company is a national nonprofit that started originally with the name Public Radio Capital, and our focus initially was doing working with public TV and radio stations interested in doing acquisitions and financing. So over the course of our history, we've done about $340 million worth of deals in public broadcasting, and then that ultimately expanded to be much more inclusive of television. So a couple of years ago, we changed our name to Public Media Company, reflecting our active work in both public radio and public television. And we've been focused on building new technologies and new projects in support of public broadcasting, and primarily focused on business development at a national level. So the Public Media Venture Group was actually a group that emerged out of Public Media Companies, specifically around ATSC 3.0. So the Venture Group is a group of 24 public broadcasters that in aggregate operate 81 stations and reach 188 million people. So they range from most of the top markets like New York and Chicago and Los Angeles and San Francisco, and then also a number of state networks, Nebraska, Arkansas, Alabama, Iowa, Georgia, and in aggregate reaching 188 million people. And that's a group that's really come coalesced around developing ATSC 3.0 and all the implications of that for public broadcasting. So it really is, hence its name, it's a venture group that's looking at how to both invest in and develop those businesses and technologies that fit both the mission and interest and needs of public broadcasting, but also the business development sides of public broadcasting. So we see it really as an important underpinning for the future of public broadcasting and also the future of much more expanded capacities for service nationally.
Well, that's very exciting, because I know that the public media business, you know, or, you know, the stations and NPR or, the, you know, all of those different organizations in my own local station, your KQED, there's been a lot of initiative for many, many years to try to bring digital TV to, you know, their communities, to the nation, and new services and interactive services, and, you know, try to be on the forefront and innovate. But I know money has come and gone, and things have fallen by the wayside. But now it sounds like, with your help, public media operations are going to get a huge turbo boost with through Public Media Ventures Group with Tim. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah. And Tracy, I'd say you're exactly right. And that's one of the challenges in public broadcasting is public broadcasting nationally is really aggregated on the content side around PBS and NPR, and that really has developed the content underpinning of public broadcasting as we know it today. But the other piece is that public broadcasting is a network that reaches 98% of the country, with about 365 public TV stations and about 900 public radio stations, so in total about 1,200 stations. But those are all independent entities. And so what we're trying to do with this and bringing Tim into this is really trying to develop those businesses, and KQED has certainly been in the forefront of doing a lot of those things, but really pulling stations together that can look at how to approach that business development almost collectively with stations, as opposed to each station having to be dependent on raising their own resources to do those kind of things. So we see this as an important interplay, and that ties into really what Tim's focused on between public broadcasting and a lot of the new technologies, as well as the sort of major technology companies.
Well, normally I would try to be as unbiased as possible, but I can't be that way when Tim Hanlon is mentioned. Tim, of course, you're online as one of the best in the business and always thinking ahead, and has been deeply involved in advertising and technology, ventures business, and I think it's great that you brought him on. Tim.
Well, look, Tracy, your gushing praise is hardly warranted, but I appreciate you saying that. Nice of you to say.
It's true.
I believe half of that, but thank you nonetheless. I think Mark hints at it, right? There's a lot of things that are going on in this, especially television space, right? Radio also too, but for the sake of a discussion around PMVG, Public Media Venture Group, a lot of the zeitgeist around this this entity is being driven by an entirely new platform for broadcasting called ATSC 3.0, which most of your listeners are at least generally aware of, if not knee-deep involved in, which is still, interestingly, very much in its earliest stages, right? The technology and the standards are generally have coalesced into some level of agreement, mostly engineering-focused. But we're really now in the midst of, I guess I would say, the beginnings of the heavy lifting to come, right, which is business development, productization. We've got market trials now in 8 to 10 different markets in the United States. We've got some international deployments in Korea, et cetera. And, without Public Media Venture Group's efforts thus far, the bulk of that work and those deployments, at least the beginning stages, are commercially centric or driven, which is fine. But the reality is that there is different, maybe similar, but certainly different need sets from this thing called public broadcasting, right? Some of those things actually may be quite parallel or similar to the commercial needs. For example, you take, all the things we talk about on this new standard, this new platform around targeted, addressable, programmatic advertising. Sure, that's great on the commercial front, but public stations and public media probably have some elements that are a little bit more suited to their needs. So maybe not quote-unquote advertising per se, but things like promotion for programming, the enticement for folks to make a donation or a contribution or to be a supporter of, so there are a commerce kind of component to that. And other sort of, marriages between that which is commercial and that which is public. All of those things are up for grabs, and we're in the process now of just beginning to get into what the business models, plural, of this new standard look like, and frankly, what the products, plural, look like for this, and for the non-commercial world to be much more focused and involved, I think is a very important and healthy thing, albeit still at a relatively early stage. I can't think of a time in this standards evolution that probably requires more diligent activity before perhaps some of these standards, some of these products are defined and maybe a little too late for certain stakeholders, and public media certainly being a very big one that needs to have its voice recognized.
I mean, public television, you know, I think used to be less commercial, right? But now there are certainly ads that occur on PBS all the time. So to some extent, do you think that those new services will include programmatic, targeted, addressable advertising? Or do you think you're really going to influence the stations and organizations and involved in this effort to look towards content, interactivity, you know, new forms of storytelling, all of the sort of things that I know that PBS tries to foment in general as a content organization, but to what extent are you going to be driven by, you know, the needs to raise money as the first thing that launches out the door? And by the way, we're going to be delving into ATSC 3.0 in great depth at the show coming up June 13th and 14th. We have several panels, and you guys are going to be led by you, Tim, on a session of your own with some other very nice, respected executives. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Good. Yeah, no, that is great. And Tracy, just to make an important distinction, public television and public radio are both restricted by the FCC because they mostly have reserve band licenses. So they actually can't do advertising in that traditional sense. So in the public media world, it really is underwriting, which is sponsorship of programs or the overall content on public radio and television. And that's one of the distinctions with ATSC 3.0, because it is addressable. There are activities that could have a commercial focus to them that historically had been out of the bounds of what reserve band channels could do. So, but I think more importantly, we see this as really a platform that could provide the marriage of the best of both worlds, because it does open up a significant number of mission focused activities tied to ATSC 3.0, and we see big areas in education and certainly emergency alerting and enhanced and targeted content and all those areas that really could help public broadcasting do a better job of super serving their audiences. But at the same time, we do see it as an opportunity to build additional revenue for public media coming from a lot of those kind of services. So what we hope to find is ways to take this new platform and enhance the services that are being provided by local stations, but at the same time build new revenue sources for them. And some of those might include commercial, but overall mostly focused on building revenue sources that are still closely linked to the mission of public broadcasting.
And how is Public Media Ventures funded?
Public Media Ventures is a little bit like that classic venture group. So all the stations involved, so the 24 entities are involved in the Public Media Venture Group, all contribute basically the startup capital for that. And then we're using that then to look at raising outside capital to match the capital that's been invested by stations. So it really is a unique step in terms of public television to really invest in these kind of things, something like this that really is tied to this new technology. So it's a collective investment on the part of the stations involved to be able to support things that really need to take place on a national level that even the largest of the stations like WGBH in Boston, even with their capacities, they'd have a hard time doing this individually. So it really is aggregating the resources of those stations and then bringing in the expertise needed to help them sort of sort through all the opportunities to focus on.
Will they, will all of these stations out there, will they be able to, do they pay for a membership to be part of all of the things that will come out of the work that you're doing? Or will they maybe say, I want to buy this new service and that, you know, I'm thinking way down the road when things are actually available, but I'm just curious about what the business structure will be.
That is a good question. And so that's really where the venture part of the name comes into play. And we really do see this as not a paying membership, but really a venture investment on the part of stations. And so what we hope is that we're going to develop products and technologies and applications coming out of this group that ultimately, as those emerge, will set up the legal structures to enable the stations that have originally invested in the venture group to be able to benefit both in the form of products that they can use at a reduced cost for them, but then ideally products that are then used by the rest of the system or entities outside of the public broadcasting system, and then revenues from those then will flow back to the venture group and then and through the venture group back to stations.
And you recently made a partnership with Triveni Digital to make that initial step into developing new services and technologies. Can you or Tim or can you talk a little bit about what that partnership is about?
Sure. Please. And I'll jump in, and then Tim can certainly layer in his perspective on it. But that's a good example of what we see as a lead technology company in this area that we wanted to partner with, because we feel like that brings the capacity to develop technologies and applications that are directly related to the needs and interests of public broadcasting. So again, for example, in the education area, there may be unique technologies that we wanted to develop that support the educational interest and capacities under ATSC 3.0. So we see Triveni as an important potential partner in helping to develop those things that are going to be unique to public broadcasting, that are going to be outside of what some of the other commercial groups moving into 3.0 might be developing. And so we're excited about that as a potential for developing exactly these kind of things that both can be used by the venture group stations, but ultimately have utility outside of the group that ultimately can generate some form of revenue coming back to sort of all the involved parties.
Tim, before you jump in, I just want to point out to the audience, if you don't know already, I mean, Tim is, again, I'm going to gush a little bit, but Tim is always so great at seeing way ahead about, what is interesting, which companies are interesting, which technologies have real traction, where, the ones that are going to turn into something. And you've got sort of a third eye or a good instinct or something. So I'm kind of curious what you see ahead, the kinds of technologies you're excited about that you think that might play an important part in this new venture with or in including Triveni or in addition to Triveni.
Yeah, well, some might also call it an illness or a condition, but we'll treat it as a positive as you put it out there. Because, the future, where stuff is going is not necessarily for the faint of heart and it's not necessarily fully formed, right? And I think the Triveni deal, the relationship, I think, is a microcosm, frankly, or an example of the kinds of sort of collective things or goodness that Public Media Venture Group can put together to benefit current membership as well as all of public broadcasting. And those things could rise to the level of, technology and corporate partnerships to things a little more formative, like relationships with media-centric or public media-conscious accelerator environments or startup company relationships, that, frankly, have not had a very straightforward conduit to the world of quote-unquote public broadcast, right? So as you know, and you've heard me talk about ad nauseum over the 15 years that we've known each other, Tracy, there's tons of startups, some of which have come and some of which have gone, some of which are still here or are now big publicly traded firms and everything in between, that in the realm of quote-unquote media or television, right, look for things like commercial or corporate validation, perhaps in the manner of investment, or at the very least for usage and trials, business development in the marketplace. It's probably safe, Mark, you can slap my wrist virtually if you want, but it's probably not a stretch to say that world of, let's call it venture-backed capital, technology-oriented companies, or companies that are pushing or chasing innovation in and around television or media, or communications, probably haven't sort of necessarily known the best place or the most immediate source from which to talk about, to pitch, to connect with in the realm of public media to see if there's some goodness there that said stations or groups or anything public could benefit from. So I would hope, part of my involvement here would be to somewhat demystify, I guess, the world of public media to...
I think we might have lost him.
I'll pick up on one of the points that he's making, which I think is a really important point, which is there's a whole range. This goes back to our experience and when we first formed and putting together capital for lending for public broadcasting, and all the major banks and we did a lot of tax exempt bond financing, so we were dealing with the rating agencies, and none of those entities really understood how to connect with sort of the foundational piece of public broadcasting, which is really at the station level, because they would either tend to go to NPR and PBS or go to a single station. But as sort of the real strength that we're really trying to build on is and connect with other national technology companies that are interested in this is the fact that public broadcasting reaches 98% of the population in the country, and that's larger than any other commercial network in the country. So I think that the breadth of reach and then the close ties that stations have to the local communities really is a key asset for public broadcasting. So I think part of our role is to look at other national companies that are interested in that space and really form a connecting point for those companies. And an example of that is we just announced a project that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is funding, and it's a joint venture with WGBH in Boston. And we're aggregating the buying power of public stations to leverage much better prices for everything from equipment to services to everything else. So we're essentially leveraging that power of 1,200 stations that are going to be buying, probably in aggregate at least $700 million worth of equipment over the next few years to try to leverage better prices, whereas historically that had just been done on a station-by-station basis. So being able to use that power of a network that reaches 98% of the country in all these areas.
Oh, that's really great. We've heard about the investment in new technologies, partnerships with technology companies, maybe working with technology innovators. But what about content? Do you think there might be room for investing in content? It's almost like you'll be your own, even though it's public, but you're a network that could explore relationships with new types of content companies. There are content platforms, within the public media sphere, like ITVS, Tim's back online. Hi, Tim, you here?
I'm here. I had a phone blow up. I apologize.
Oh, no problem. Well, we're just talking about like organizations like ITVS that produce content within the public ecosystem, public media ecosystem. And so do you think you'll tap into those kinds of companies or work? Are you looking for third-party content providers?
I think that really is an important point, and that's probably one of the most impactful shifts that we anticipate with ATSC 3.0 is Skip Peasy has said it's really infinitely expandable, and so historically, essentially the shelf space issue for public broadcasting has been a significant limiting factor, but with ATSC 3.0. The much greater expanded capacity to deliver content, we feel like really will open doors to both national productions, but also importantly, local productions. And we've seen that kind of expansion in public radio with the growth of, for example, since 2011, local content producers in both radio and television, sort of local staff producing content have grown by 30%. And that's really in the face of most other media where, local content people are it's diminishing, especially on the newspaper side. So we do feel like this will really support and encourage a lot more content development, both amongst local stations and then regionally or collections of stations that are interested in producing certain types of content. So one of the projects that we have that sort of provides a platform for that is called Channel X, and it's a cloud-based content exchange that we feel like will be encouraging stations to be able to produce more of that kind of content and exchange it with each other and really more fully leverage sort of the expanded capacity under ATSC 3.0. So I do think that's going to be a really important feature for what happens with public broadcasting going forward.
Tim, did you want to continue on with the point you were making before?
Yeah, until my phone blew up. The idea is that there are external partnerships and conduiting, shall we say, can be very helpful in the sort of demystification of what public media is and is about and has in terms of its needs, both related to the evolution of television as well as other technological advancements that this new ATSC 3.0 standard can bring about, which may not necessarily relate directly to television. And I think it's also very interesting. It's quite a parallel to the almost schizophrenic nature that I see in the commercial side with respect to this new standard. I think you have a number of folks on the commercial side who look at this as a true evolution and next generation standard for quote unquote television and all the things that can come with that, say targeted addressable advertising or interactivity. Others, sometimes in common, sometimes not, that this is a more pure play, advanced digital bandwidth play that may or may not have television related to it or is only a part of its future. I don't think public media is any different in that regard. To me, that's all opportunistic investigation. And I think it's just clear that while there are some commonalities between that of public and non-commercial and commercial with respect to this evolution, there are also very strong differences and or need sets. And the idea of what PMVG is about literally allows public broadcasting to harmonize with evolution and things that are going on the commercial side where appropriate and maybe help shape or add to those efforts and trials, but frankly also give them, the public folks, the non-commercial folks, a bit more confidence to define things on their own with their own particular needs involved and God forbid maybe actually enable some of the commercial folks to come in and shape that process as well. So that's the kind of exciting early stages that we're in, and I think it's tremendous that Public Media Co. in the form of PMVG, Public Media Venture Group, is there to kind of push the envelope, if you will, on what is a potentially very exciting time for television's future that is still in its relatively formative stages.
Well, I'm glad you used the term pushing the envelope, because as I said earlier with you, Mark, on the beginning, that, you know, in the 90s or the early 2000s, public media was trying to push the envelope and do new things to educate the public, to provide interactivity. And so I'm hoping that this will do the same. And so one of the ways, I think, as you were saying, Tim, is that this is different than commercial television in some ways. And one of those ways would be creating educational content, right? Interesting educational content, not just storytelling, although I love storytelling as well, but things that incorporate documentaries and biopics and things like that about history or the future or topics or politics or whatever it is. And I'm curious if you've heard of any projects moving that direction. I know you mentioned the weather alerting system, probably with a Warren Alliance and with John Lawson. But I mean, there are other projects that we have supported in the past because we thought there was a future for them. Like I mentioned, ITVS, they have a platform called Ovi, which is a fantastic video streaming, live streaming chat platform. And, you know, it'd be great to see you guys be able to pick up these kinds of platforms and deliver them to the public on a much wider scale with all of that promise that you're going to be bringing. That was more of a statement than a question.
To support that statement, I think that, you know, even looking at the whole range of things that ITVS does, and, you know, and again, the limitation for public broadcasting now is that each station has to pick a schedule and decide which programs to fit into those schedules, whereas under ATSC 3.0, does offer up much more of that capacity to deliver targeted content that might be of strong interest to a smaller aggregate audience for any station. But now they can really provide that content, and it can be streamed and, you know, downloaded under the home gateway devices. And so it really does cover opportunities in the whole realm of, you know, what's content that's of interest to people, but also, you know, content that's, as you said, educational in focus, or, you know, we feel like there's tremendous potential for being able to do important language programming for audiences in ways that public TV really couldn't do before. So all those kind of, that capacity to target audiences and content, I think, is really going to open up a whole new world in terms of both service and educational focus, and as you said, emergency alerting with some of the work that UNCTV is doing on their innovative approach to that. So I think it really is going to open up a significant range of worlds to really reinforce the role and strength of public television and public broadcasting in their local markets.
Have you done any research to test whether or not people would be more likely to subscribe to a local television system or to subscribe to individual channels that have interactive applications associated with them? You know, in other words, commodify public television programming once it becomes ATSC turbocharged? I mean, maybe that's research that's coming, you know, down the line, but...
Yeah, that's right. Coming soon to a neighborhood near you.
Right. I mean, do you feel, your gut instinct must tell you that you think that this will be a good sales option for the local television stations to say, hey, we've got all these incredible...
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, really when you layer onto that, the you know, a few other sort of overarching changes in the market, I think the FCC's move to really look at changing the ownership rules and the cross-ownership rules and eliminating the local studio requirements. So I think all those things reinforce the importance of public broadcasting, because they are a network of local stations and, you know, typically with local boards or associated with local colleges and universities or state governments. So I think that that capacity for service and the ability to really better target different segments of their audiences, all that ultimately enhances the ability of stations to support themselves.
This is also, I mean, look, we're talking a lot of the stuff here in this chat about, you know, sort of in context of this next generation standard, which is, let's be honest, still, you know, from a deployment perspective, possibly 3 to 5 years out, and there's some obviously some legal and regulatory issues, and obviously business models afoot. So while it's still early days for that, but there's a whole host of innovation opportunities and scenarios and situations that you know, that the non-commercial world can benefit from now, while we formulate what the future looks like on the next generation platform that exists today, right? So things like targeted content delivery, right? Those are things that do and can exist in digital video environments and over the top video scenarios that exist today as a prelude or as a dress rehearsal for the ATSC 3.0 standard. So I guess I just want to underline that it's a whole host of scenarios and situations that hopefully will be coming more and more progressively involved in now, while we build the foundation for what ATSC 3.0 looks like in the next 3 to 5 years.
And Tim, I think that is an important point to emphasize, because there are a lot of these things that stations are already doing, you know, whether it's educationally focused or emergency alerting or certainly content development and different ways to distribute and develop content. So, and the capacity for really better understanding audiences and data analysis. I think the foundations of all those pieces are there. And I think the key is to how do we more fully develop those and then be able to use the enhanced capacity of ATSC 3.0 really to essentially supercharge all those kind of things that are fundamental to public broadcasting now going into the future.
By the way, I welcome public television stations to contact me if they want to be part of the TV of Tomorrow show. We'd certainly love to have you there and have you and be able to for you to be exposed to everything that's happening there, commercial and non-commercial. And of course, like I said earlier, we're doing a lot of stuff on a lot of sessions on ATSC 3.0. Back to what you guys are doing. Well, this is all part of what you're doing. But so what's happening now? Is it just sort of getting situated? It's putting out releases? Are there sort of meetings happening between stations in your organization? Or is there sort of a behind the scenes promotion or education going on? I mean, what stage are you in terms of getting everybody on board?
And I'd say really all of the above. And we have everything from, we've been participating in the FCC filing comments on the FCC rulemaking on ATSC 3.0. So everything from that to looking at some of the legal documents and structures that would be important moving into, 1.0 and 3.0 transitions in each market. And we have been holding a series of meetings. So our first meeting was in Washington, D.C. in October. And then we had a great meeting, and then that was the first one that Tim came to in January in Palo Alto, where we really brought together a whole range of interesting companies and technology companies to expose all those companies to the managers and vice versa. And then we have been holding webinars on key topics to keep the stations and the venture group updated on a lot of the things that are going on. And then we send out regular communications. And then we're planning probably at least two more meetings this year where we'll pull together both sort of mostly CTO-focused, engineer-focused, a meeting looking at the transition to 3.0, and then again another CEO, president of all the company meeting near the end of the year. So doing all those kind of things. And then we've also been engaged in helping to communicate a lot of these kind of things to the rest of the system. So actively involved in conversations with all the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and PBS and a more limited extent to, with NPR. So that's an important piece. And then we've also been doing local presentations on ATSC 3.0 and the Venture Group 2 station. So the most recent one that we did was in Denver, and we brought in the two public TV stations and then the two major public radio groups into that meeting just to expose both the stations and some of their key board members to an overall sort of basic, here's a primer on 1.0 or on 3.0 so that every, at the board level, they could understand that too. So we're holding those kind of meetings. And the next one I'm doing is in Sacramento. So we're holding those kind of meetings locally with all the venture group stations.
That's a lot of flying around. It sounds like it's good work.
And Tracy, I think another I was going to say another important piece that ties in with Tim is then sort of the companion to that is all the work that we're doing in connecting this group to sort of the broader outside world. So that's certainly a key role that Tim's playing. And then, a lot of the conversations that we've been having with a lot of the lead technology companies and consumer electronics companies. So, that's another important part of the group is not only what we're doing internally for the stations, but also the externally connected conversations that we're having.
Yeah, and those are relationships with firms and entities, big and small. Your loyal listening audience, this is, consider this sort of as the beginnings of some outreach to those communities, whether you're a venture capital-backed firm in and around television or media, maybe a later stage or even a publicly traded firm, and it becomes sort of a business development exploration or conversation. I mean, this is trying to open up the aperture, shall we say, of public media as it relates to the future of television, especially with the new standard in play, but certainly before that. That can hopefully add another sort of a log to the already existent fire that the stations and PBS as a network, et cetera, have already begun. And we're, looking forward and hopefully stay tuned for some either announcements or certainly relationships and or other things with those, quote unquote, outside resources and sources to sort of start proving some of that.
All right, well, I think that's a great place to stop. There's so much more to discuss, but you're going to be bringing it to CDF tomorrow, June 13th and 14th. And we'll hear it more in depth when you actually speak to commercially driven companies who are involved in investing in ATSC 3.0, like Pearl TV and Shelly. And we have John Hain, president of Spectrum, in that session, and Rob Weisbord, who's the chief revenue officer of Sinclair. So some big deal, very commercially driven companies. And I think that's it for now. So thank you so much, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to having you at the show and speaking more.
Great. Well, thanks, Tracy. We enjoyed the interview and look forward to seeing you at the show, and I'm very excited about being there and being part of it.
Thanks, okay. Tracy. We look forward to seeing you.
We have just been hearing Mark Hand, who is the co-founder and CEO of Public Media Company, publicmedia.co, and Tim Hanlon, who's the CEO of the Pater Group, now part of Public Media Venture Group. This is Tracy Sludlow, and hopefully we'll hear or have you here another time, guys, and on the ITVT.com and TVOTshow.com. Take care. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you. You're listening to is by a Japanese group called Pistol Jazz. This is Tracy Sludlow, editor-in-chief of Interactive TV Today and co-producer of the TV of Tomorrow show, which is coming up June 13th and 14th in San Francisco. Be sure to go to tvotshow.com and get your tickets before the price goes up May 1st. See you next time. Bye.